And the weather today in Lincoln and beyond, at least as far as the British Isles in the East Midlands is concerned. 19 degrees centigrade is the high, 8 degrees centigrade is the low. A chilly start, but a dry, warm and mostly sunny day.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
Just a little bit of extra help there, PF, because obviously you don't know when those giant lizards could emerge, like some sort of volcanic, you know, bad 1960s Ray Harryhausen movie. So, you know, we like to keep you safe. That's the important thing. Because you've got frogs, have you not, sir?
Yes, we've got frogs here. You can probably hear them in the background. The cookie frogs, they have been on the island probably about 10 years now. They started out slowly, but it kind of sounds like a soundtrack to a scary movie, and they
ribbit.
Come from Puerto Rico.
Ribbit. Sorry, I was having a Kermit moment there. <It's, you> know, just play them reruns of the Muppet Show. They'll enjoy that. You know, keep the word. And I'm glad you got the pronunciation, because I wasn't sure whether they were cocky frogs, i.e. very arrogant, you know, just frogs who would sort of stroll around and sort of be really sort of have attitude. But cokey frog sounds a lot better, really. It's building
yeah,
up.
Cokey sounds a lot better, certainly.
Oh, yeah, the cokey frogs. In fact, it sounds like you should do the hokey cokey. It's a British dance bucket. We'll go there. Anyway, this is the first time, of course, we have reached you when it's still the day before, as far as Hawaii is concerned. And I can say that you've got so much to look forward to for the first 8 hours on May the 5th. It's unbelievable. You know, I mean, we're obviously, and now at 4 minutes past 8 a.m. on the morning of May the 5th. You're, of course, I believe, just 4 minutes past 9 p.m. on Star Wars Day.
I don't know about it being Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you. Obviously it hasn't crossed the Pacific as yet. I don't
Not
know
quite.
It's clearly there, never mind. Anyway, so what I mean, looking towards sunset in Hawaii, you know, what perfect routine. It's almost as good as having Tessa Snart back in the team again. So fashionably so, but it's great stuff. Tessa, of course, from Glint, that's a wonderful sort of place just outside Peterborough, which I know from your own perspective, Bob. You know, Peterborough, where the heck's that? Somewhere in the European area of England, okay? But where was it for the moment? Oh, yes, Hawaii. And
Star Wars.
Star Wars. And more importantly, would you like to describe this sunset that we've got in Hawaii? Because, as I say, it's in Los Angeles, they are in May the 5th. They've passed midnight. So this used to be a midnight in Los Angeles feature. But it's 9 p.m. in Hawaii. So what sort of things are we seeing through your eyes, Buck?
Well, through my eyes, I'm seeing a very, very dark sky with just amazing stars. You know, we have the most amazing view on the planet for stargazing. On the highest mountain here, Mauna Kea, at 14,000 feet, we've got telescopes from every country on the globe, because that's where the greatest viewing of the stars is. And so people, when they come to visit here, are just amazed at the sky, because as I look up at the sky right now, I can see some lights from my own house and one little light from the neighbor, but other than that, it's just a completely open sky. There's no moon up yet. It's very dark and just stars twinkling like crazy. So it's gorgeous. It's this amazing view. It's lovely. In here, you'll witness the Milky Way, which people don't see. You know, they just don't see that. But it's this huge stripe that goes across the sky. It's just gorgeous.
So clearly, Tessa, no real need to go to Hawaii at all. Really,
clearly not.
Clearly
not.
It's important. Natasha, you were very keen to sort of flag up the fact that Buck is a tea drinker.
Yes, any tea drinker is a good man in my book. What's your cup of choice?
Well, what do you think? PG Tips, of course.
Good man.
My word, he's almost like a genuine cockney living in Hawaii. It's great. I've got a Dick Van Dyke thing coming over. It's every sense of the word.
Well, my parents are from England, and so, you know, my parents gave me tea as a baby, half tea and half milk in the bottle, so it's been a very long-term addiction for me.
Now, this is an intriguing revelation, Buck, because we thought you were an L.A. Latino, Los Angeles, you know, transferred over to Hawaii, but you're saying you've actually got British connections? genetic British connections.
I do, indeed, yes. And I was actually in London year before last for the first time. I came over all the way from Hawaii to see the Kate Bush concert.
Wow.
At the Apollo Hammersmith. Yeah,
yeah. You see, that's your kind of serious Kate Bush fan. That,
you know. Yes, indeed. Or, we were the very first people in line.
Well, as Kate herself might have said, wow. A lot higher, but, you know, I'm not going to go down there.
A lot higher,
exactly. Harwich correspondent extraordinaire Hannah Brown and Hawaii. See what I did there? Hannah, Hawaii, Harwich.
Some serious alliteration going on there.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Thoughts for yourself? For Buck, any questions you'd like to put to him about Hawaii, about life, about, you know, anything really? So it could be the Ask Buck feature of the programme.
What is the general weather like there? I mean, I've never been to Hawaii, and here we've managed to get, I think this is the second sunny day that we've seen in ages.
Yeah, well, 2 out of 365 isn't bad.
I know, which is, like, great for us.
Well, we have perfect weather here. It does not get any better. You know, we get nice little rain at night, and it cools down very little, but I'd have to do the, you know, it's in Fahrenheit here, but 72 degrees is what it is tonight. Like, for example, it's 9 o'clock at night, and I actually just moved from inside to outside, and I'm wearing a t-shirt and shorts, and I'm barefoot, and all the windows and doors are open, and it's just perfect weather. You know, you sleep with just a small blanket at night, and I don't own a sweater or a jacket, and you know. You never wear long pants. That's why, back to the Magnum P.I. thing, the attire. You know,
sounds beautiful.
You just don't need it.
Well, as Claire will attest to, it was a significant day today because, yes, the second day I've put the jumper to one side, and then there is, you know, it could be shirt for a considerable period of time, but, you know, it's just have to hold fire on that. Trousers, of course, are inevitable because I'm not going to actually still wear shorts on the Madrid Drive unless there's significant sums of finance involved.
Well, speaking of you in Hawaii, a certain clairvoyant, J-Ro, told me that he said to let you know that he did see you in Hawaii, so there you go. So
I knew that astral traveling gig was going to work. You know, there I was, you know, just happily wandering through the cosmos. I thought, I know this bloke, it's J-Ro, it's fantastic. Yesterday we actually had an ace medium, TJ, on the program. He's a medium now, it's amazing. It's like a whole new world. It's like the Simpsons predicting the next president of the United States. Oh wait, they've already done that. Never mind. Tessa, questions for yourself.
Oh gosh, is it sort of holiday season yet? Are you getting a lot of tourists over? I know you said...
I'm busy all the time. This is actually my first year of really being on the books I'm on Airbnb, and it seems like I get so many people from Switzerland. I don't know why Switzerland, but so many in Germany. But I'm booked solid pretty much all the time. And it does seem to, you know, we're very busy this time of year, and then it'll start to slow down as the weather gets better in other places. But people always come here during what would be the winter months in other places. Because it is just so nice to, you know, shed your jacket and your long pants and put on a pair of flip-flops and just walk in the sand. People love that.
And, of course, have the opportunity to meet a legendary radio broadcaster called Buck, who's always nice.
Yeah, sure.
Great cat as well. Sensational. Claire, I know one of these days you'll be heading to Hawaii, but you've decided to go to Market Raisin tomorrow, so it's all...
I know, it's not quite Hawaii, is it? But we'll take it.
It'll be fine. It'll be splendid. Richard Fitzwilliams is coming up very shortly. I'm wondering if we gave Buck a choice of babushka, cloud busting, somewhere in between, December is magic again. No, too ironic, even for May. Wow, the man with the child in his eyes, or running up that hill. Which one would he actually go for?
Probably go for babushka.
You see, I thought you might have gone for cloud busting weather scenario, but he's going for babushka.
Cloud busting is pretty good. That's a pretty, and my very favorite would probably be Army Dreamers, but it's very short.
Well, yes, short but perfectly formed. in so many words, like the ideal weather forecast. Natasha, can you remember those last two questions that we bowled to people at this time?
Have you enjoyed your conversation with us this morning?
Absolutely.
Or this evening, of course, in Hawaii.
Oh, yes, of course.
they don't know what is in store for them, and I can see it's wonderful. You know, once they cross midnight, that's amazing. How was the martini, by the way, Buck?
It was good. I held off on the second one. I didn't want to lose my
yeah, did you?
I think I'll have it now.
Consummate professional. I mean, the Cokie Frogs will be sitting there literally outside on the veranda, no doubt, sort of saying, is it really? And it is. It's P.F. Buck doing his magic. You know, it's great. So, next question, Natasha.
And will you be joining us again sometime?
I would love to. It'd be my pleasure.
I think almost we need a Hawaiian launch to the show. I'm a
definitely.
Garden.
That's
just yeah. Carving
with
that
martinis
thing
included, obviously. Well, yeah.
From the celebrity tributes to former Midwich drivers, we'd like to give a name check to Jonathan Kaner, who sadly passed away a couple of days ago, moved into the next level. Anyway, top astrologer, did a whole range of other things. Mind you, as Patrick Moore once said, as far as that's concerned, there's one born every minute, and Sir Patrick will be up there, so he knew as well. Anyway, moving on from that point of view, if I was to reach out with one's psychic powers, I would suggest possibly, that our next filmic and royal correspondent might be having a civil war on his hands between Mowgli and Baloo the Bear in a certain part of the world. He might be doing that, but he might decide to do something completely different. I don't know. He is a law unto himself, and we wouldn't have it any other way, would we, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Very kind, Ivan. Otherwise, the red flower might threaten you.
Oh, the red flower?
Yes. The Jungle Book, the red flower is the fire that the animals so fear. It's the weapon that man uses to destroy the environment.
That's why they want to be like us. It's not just the bears. It's not just the lions and the tigers. It's not just the whole... It's the Cokie Frogs I'm concerned about.
Well, I'm fascinated by the Jungle Book because I have to admit, I haven't seen the 1967 Walt Disney animated film, but this using CGI and telling it, so to speak, with animals that largely created, but nonetheless it works a treat, directed by John Favreau. It tells a story. I wasn't familiar with Kipling's work, I have to say, but an orphaned man cub, a boy who grows up and goes on an adolescent journey with the animals who raised him. The Black Panther, Bagheera, wonderful voice of Ben Kingsley, brought him to the animals, and he learns the way of the wolves, raised by Raksha. I loved Lupita Nyong'o's voice. Remember her in 12 Years a Slave, a very powerful performance there. And her pack, which is led by Akela, and stalked. He is eventually stalked by the Bengal tiger, the scarred and hate who hates humanity, Shere Khan. And the film begins at the water where, during a drought, the animals have a truce and gather. And we learn that Shere Khan killed Mowgli's father, but was scarred by him, and he seeks revenge. And we also know that he's determined to kill the man cub Mowgli, who actually leaves the pack to try and escape and save them. He's guided by Bagheera and goes on a journey and teams up. Here you've got the bear, you've got the sloth bear Baloo, voiced by Bill Murray. And subsequent to that, there are a series of dramatic events. And one of the significant aspects of this is it's such fun, it's so imaginative, but also there are quite a few shocks. So in the animals fight, for example, you can suddenly get a shock when a certain animal appears at a certain time, and there's also so much fun. There are songs, my goodness me, yes, if you want Mowgli and Baloo singing in the river together. I mean, that is absolutely hilarious. Not to mention the occasion when he's kidnapped by monkeys. And the king, the gigantopithecus King Louis, played for the voice by Christopher Walken, goes in a dance.
You were saying songs. Let's take a musical break. Bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found off my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw for a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well, next time, beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Perfect way to actually start the day. Sue Rice, of course, has just locked in to say she locked herself out of her room. Marvellous. But anyway, Sue, we hope you're safely ensconced. I think you are, because I think she was brandishing a key.
Spare key.
Exactly. I was very confused with Sue, but still. By the way, I still actually owe Sue £10 for her Lincolnshire 10K. I'll get around to it somewhere along the way, I'm sure. Phil Harris and Bruce Reitherman there from the original Bare Necessities. Oh, is it Reitherman? I don't know.
I think it's a terrific song. I mean, one of the joys of this movie is that it is so full of fun and imagination, the different animals. I must mention Scarlett Johansson's voice in the serpent Kaa, and also Idris Elba. He is Shere Khan.
Would make a perfect Mulan, I think, Scarlett Johansson. But yeah. And of course, directed by Jon Favreau, of course, who keeps the Iron Man connection going with Marvel and a whole range of other factors. So it looks now, from what we've just said, is that the movie that kind of appeals to yourself, Tessa?
Yes, definitely. I was actually going to see it with Emily.
What are you?
It just never happened.
Emily's just yeah, she's
gone now.
She went home though.
But yeah, I was even going.
You don't even mention her name. She's a non-person.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Mind. He's a dead to you. No. Claire.
Yes, it does. I find it really fascinating that they're redoing all of the Disney films as like live actions.
Because of course they were real in reality.
Always.
Wonderful animals. You're absolutely right to like it. We'll make one point. Neil Sethi is Mowgli, and well, I have to say he is over-cute.
Over-cute?
Over-cute. Sometimes you get Hollywood kids who do irritate a tiny bit. So my sympathies were with all the animals in this movie. It's a pleasure, Anna Lloyd, quite honestly.
As W.C. Fields once said, love children, couldn't eat a whole one. It's important, you know. Did I read these? It's a quote. It's W.C. Fields, well-known sort of soul. Hannah.
Oh, I loved it. I've seen it in the cinema already, and it's amazing.
Isn't it just?
Yeah, I loved all of
it. And dramatic too, from time to time.
Yeah.
And you're particularly interested in the orangutan, I think.
Yes, that's one of the bits I really loved, because obviously I found in the cartoon King Louis very like fun and jolly, and as it obviously is. But in this one,
did you know King Louis was apparently the idea germinated for seeing Marlon Brando's Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse Now?
So simple. Exactly. Yeah. He loves the smell of napalm in the morning, hence the fire. You know.
Oh no, that's a different character.
Yeah. So it goes. And Natasha, Jungle Book.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. I went to see it with my flatmates 2 weeks ago, I think it was now, just when it just came out. And the jump scares really got me, though, in the end fight scene. I was jumping out my seat.
Well, that's a genuine...
It really is. It just shows what you can do with that imagination, with the right music, with the right... Well, the whole concept of it works beautifully. All right, yes.
It's
marvellous.
Thumbs up. Now, Natasha has also, myself actually, caught the next movie that you're going to review, which takes a slap bang into the Marvel Universe in full force, but they have a falling out. Do they not, Richard?
Yes, they most certainly do, because Hydra operatives in Siberia revive Bucky Barnes and dispatch him on a programmed assassination, and subsequently all sorts of mayhem break loose in the Marvel Universe. I have to say that this movie brings many, many characters, some of whom we won't reveal. The facts are, however, it has been a huge hit. It has a 93% support for critics on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's made a fortune at the box office. Captain America, Civil War, directed by Anthony and Joe Russo. And we have, of course, Chris Evans, Steve Rogers / Captain America. Then we have Robert Downey Jr., always likable, always full of wit, as Tony Stark, who is, of course, as we know, Iron Man, and from Anthony Mackie as Falcon to Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye. Interesting that the last two pair so well, because I thought that when they were together in The Hurt Locker, it was one of the finest war films ever made. I would make that point. Don Cheadle as War Machine, and well, so we go on. Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow. The problem with the movie, it has both its strengths and weaknesses. The strengths are that there is, in the first hour and a half, a good deal when the Avengers are, in fact, regarded as off-limits by the world's powers after they're responsible, whilst trying to save humanity in one way or another, for various deaths and for vigilante operations. So the international community, the United Nations, plans to pass the Sokovia Accords so that the Avengers and their activities are controlled. This is supported by Tony Stark, but you try and get Captain America to back it. And at the ratification, there are further problems, and that subsequently leads to, mayhem. I do have to say, the first hour...
Fundamentally, Richard, were you Team Tony or Team Cap? This is what we need to know. Team Tony,
I'm not revealing. I'm not revealing.
Surely you can state your political preference on this day of all days. No mention of the elections, obviously.
I will state that for the first hour and a half, the movie is the mixture of humour, action, fun, and there's a certain contemporary relevance to some of the events depicted. Thereafter, what happens, and this happened with Batman versus Superman, for me, I have to say, whilst recommending it to all the fans who've loved it, it does hammer you with a series of fight sequences, loud music, special effects, and contrived dialogue, and that ruined it for me. I do have to say that, because it holds you, it amuses you, it entertains you.
Richard, loud music, special effects and contrived dialogue. You could be describing one of my lectures, for God's sakes, you know?
I haven't attended one. I can't yet give
well, you. I'll send you the link to a couple of them that are actually online. I mean, Mary's actually had a sort of Georgian literature one that's on.
That
not Georgian
stayed
literature.
With me.
So there
Edwardian.
We are. Yeah, Edwardian yeah. Science fiction.
You've got this vast cast who are excellent in various roles, and where you've got so much nostalgia, where you've got so many characters. The problem is they can't stop leaping about with loud music and endless fight scenes. The real problem with this movie for me, and I admit totally, I have really agreed it's loved by most, and the critics realize that whatever they said about Batman versus Superman, the facts are this movie pushes the right buttons for those who are fans of this type of action-packed comic movie. The facts are, however, that it is an hour too long for me. It really, really needed to save 3/4 of an hour trimming, and that's a lot. But having said that, it has been a hit everywhere, so obviously I must recommend it.
So, does that resonate with yourself, Natasha, having seen the text in question?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. I went and saw it when it came out at midnight on Thursday night, the first available opportunity. And I think that it, personally for me, I think that it got it right with the mixture of kind of the light humour and then the dark elements of the film, because it is a much darker Marvel film maybe than some of the other ones. And I think that it did...
Apart from Deadpool, of course.
But I thought it got the balance right. And particularly the Spider-Man, I was very, very worried about.
Oh, I was going to, yes, I'd mention him because I thought that I would leave him as a surprise. But yes.
You can't leave him as a surprise. Surprising how young his aunt is looking these days, that's all I can say, but still, never mind. Maybe I'm getting more chronologically gifted, but really, Aunt May by Marissa Tomei. Oof, Lord above. Anyone else in the studio caught Civil War as yet,
yes,
Mary?
I've seen it. I think actually Richard gave like a quite an accurate kind of
summation.
Yeah, that's it.
Review.
Thank you.
That's what he does. He does reviews. Okay. It's all right, Richard.
I'm
She's just a final year English graduate.
Morning.
You might meet her in person tomorrow. Who knows?
But yeah, no, because I did enjoy some of it, but I did feel that it was just fight sequence after fight. It just, you know, blurred all into one for me a little bit by the end of
it. Yes, there is this problem when you try and think back, what have I been watching? What can I actually remember? Yeah.
Exactly, so, like one of my lectures.
And awesome. Like, it was cinematically, it was amazing, but I was a bit like, okay. Calm down, everybody.
Yeah, I would say it's the weakest of the three Captain America movies I've seen so far in terms of that.
Really, really pummeled by this mixture of loud music and action sequences, especially when you've got 2.5 hours, which is roughly what it is, and the fact that there was therefore an action sequence. I didn't actually time them, but I mean, it really did
That would have been too much. But you did have the reveal of Giant Man there, obviously, Ant-Man becoming Giant Man. And I mean, if you see it as a bridge to, obviously, the double header Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War, it might well work. Hannah, thoughts on this?
I really enjoyed it, yeah. I struggled to pick a side, I found, when I was watching it. Yeah. I kept, like, yeah, I almost know. Wishing they see, could join together and pick bits from each.
Why can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
Team Cap, I have to say. Because
no question also that it's popular, because when I was walking out of Jungle Book, I saw the queue for this movie, and that's what movies need, this enthusiasm, the fact that it has this wide appeal, and you know, that's marvellous.
Oh. No pun intended. Claire?
I haven't managed to see it yet, no, but I do definitely want to see it. I kind of get the feeling with some Marvel films that they do sometimes lose the balance between a really decent plot, dialogue, whatever, and the overdoing it on the action sequences.
I think Natasha might argue on that one, really. Staunch Marvelite, really.
Under 2 hours, you'd have had a real success, as far as I was concerned, but there's absolutely no doubt about the enthusiasm for this movie, and that's what films desperately need. They need, as it were, an audience that's going to follow them, that's going to want to see it the moment it opens. I mean, it's enviable that this is a franchise that does this.
So, country music specialist from the island of Glint, just outside Peterborough, Tessa Snart, is this a movie which you think, yeah?
I would see it. I probably wouldn't go to the cinemas like The Jungle Book,
mm-hmm.
But I would
wait
see
for DVD, presumably.
Yeah, definitely. Or when it comes on the Sky Box or something.
I'd hopefully, when I meet with Richard tomorrow, I'm going to demonstrate the joy of seeing Lawrence of Arabia actually on a smartphone.
Okay.
Yeah. Or a device. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's just one of the things we'll do as we take the midweek drive on the road, so to speak. Now, Richard, I know you're going to say, well, which of the midweek drive acts are going to join us? Mary Dance is a possibility, but who knows? She could die on us over the next 12 hours.
She's
very, very frail. It's Lord above.
Good heavens.
I know. Claire's already decided she's off to Market Raisin. Natasha, well, she's already going to Newark. Well, this, you know, London, Newark. It's a tough call. I think Tessa, you're probably snowed under with work.
I'll see.
It's like a countdown
later.
To 24 hours. Who knows what could happen? But we will be there. Hopefully, all being well, catching you at the BFI South Bank together with Ace Film composer Luke Corradine and indeed Sarah Huntley. And we'll also be checking out the Stratford Film scene later on because it's the last day of Sci-Fi London. So Louis Savvy will be joining us as well. So lots of exciting things there to look forward to. And don't worry, dear listener, you can catch up on the podcast as well. So great news there. But Richard, before we actually leave with your good self today...
A royal comment.
Are we talking Vogue? Are we talking Paris? What would you like to do with respect to this royal comment?
Well, perhaps we could leave Paris possibly till next week because the exhibitions there will still be on, whereas, I mean, it has been an extraordinary week because, as everybody knows now, with the Duchess of Cambridge, with Kate on Vogue's centenary.
I have heard it's only because Tessa Snart wasn't actually available for the photo shoot, but that's by the by.
This is a tribute to 5 years of pretty extraordinary work on her fashions. I mean, what suits her? She's got beauty, she's got poise, but she has become iconic. And remember also, it's so significant, I think, that she's wearing Burberry on this photo shoot. Now, Burberry is a top luxury brand, as you all know, and various, even in the India Bhutan trip, I mean, she arrives and leaves in McQueen. She has stunning, there were two Alice Temple outfits she wore so stunningly, and the Jenny Packham for the Bollywood Gala was marvelous. I mean, it's also a matter of promoting British fashion, so there's a real purpose to this, entirely apart from the fact that following, some would say, in Diana's footsteps. It's very different. There isn't a competition there. Diana was on four Vogue covers, and the Princess Royal when Princess Anne was also on them, too, I think. But no question that the impact on fashion is very considerable. And what a week. I mean, what with that video of to promote the Invictus Games, the Queen showing her sense of mischief.
She's a tinker, isn't she? Really? You know, honestly, Your Majesty, please. You know, how much movie stuff do you want? It's almost like seeing a Stan Lee cameo in a Marvel movie. Her Majesty the Queen and Stan Lee together.
Since the Olympics, and of course that was very funny. I think everyone enjoyed it. And here, you've got It does show also the rapport with the Obamas, which is terribly important. I would just make the point that one of the things with the royals, you can lobby for good causes, as Harry is with Invictus and William for United for World Wildlife against the illegal wildlife trade. You can lobby at the top, and that's what they do, whether it's visiting President Obama or President Key of China. I mean, it's...
Shooting the breeze with Donald Trump? No, don't go there, please.
Let's go there, but no such thing would ever happen, because...
I don't know, Richard, you know. Have you looked into the future recently?
To look into the seeds of time and see which grains would grow and which would not.
Yeah, precisely. You know, these are the kind of deep-rooted philosophical calls that are needed at 37 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Great success. I mean, these royal images. I mean, for the ones, Annie Leibovitz photographs of the Queen at 90. I mean, there have been so many marvellous photo opportunities. Charlotte had won. I mean... another, and also the fact Kate's quite a dab hand at being a photographer herself.
She's in many ways the sort of photographic equivalent in terms of former Northampton circles, as well, in many ways, Natasha would be when you're taking photo shoots at the Lincolnshire Show Grand Countryside Links and managing to hide away from a midweek drive location report. Which is very good.
You know, that's just what I was thinking. But it has been, it's a marvellous week and a half for for royal watchers. I mean,
splendid. But I would say get a life. But anyway, moving on. Oh, that's not the royals; it's the royal watchers.
The
honestly,
National Portrait Gallery. Looking, I've been to the Vogue 100 years, and I mean, it's an absolutely marvelous show. I really would recommend it. It's got two royal photographs in it, and whilst I was promoting the 125th exhibition of the Royal Society of Portrait Painters, which opened yesterday at the Mall Gallery. It's 5th to the 20th, and well worth seeing. Vast diversity of portraits. An interesting homage to the old masters, artists.
Richard, you've already whetted our appetite. We might squeeze it in all sorts of ways, but a very important historic moment is about to arrive, because it's going to be Hannah Brand's first opportunity to put the last two questions to your good self. And she's from Harwich, so prepare to actually sort of be tremendously impressed by Hannah Brand, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Enormously.
Nice delivery, Hannah. Very good.
Thank you. And will you be joining us again soon?
Most certainly, but I hope we go out playing that marvellous, marvellous song which King Louis makes so lively. I wanna be like
you really good. I mean, I had Vogue and Madonna all lined up for your good self, you know, just because of the royal thing, and now you've actually changed the entire system completely. And probably a sort of
King Louis the royal.
I see what you did there. I mean, I don't know. This could cause huge meltdown in terms of whether it's there, but I don't know. Sometimes I feel we just treat you far too much.
Made a deal with you. What I desire is man's red fire to make my dream come true. Now give me the secret, man cub. Come on, clue me what to do. Give me the power of man's red flower so I can be like you.
Novelist and 21st century Newcastle man, it's Ian Lennox.
And let's face it, most journalists want to be just like Ian Lennox. Isn't that right, Ian?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's astounding. Last night we had a complete sort of wipeout of so many midweek drive-outs, apart from Emma Tenson, who did fantastic stuff with, of course, the band King King, who were live in the studio doing all sorts of things. This morning it's a full turnout, apart from Emma Tenson, who obviously has exhausted herself last night. It's too much. Welcome, Eva MacDonald. How are you, Eva?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, perfect. So Eva joins Claire Margerison, Mary Dancy, Hannah Brown, Tessa Snart, and Natasha Armstrong in the lineup today. Yes, I think it's very good. Marvellous. Before you actually sort of want to go down the Madrid line, it was clearly a case of, look, once Bayern Munich had been knocked out, the only gentlemanly thing to do was to allow Real Madrid to score. And I don't really like the Welsh footballers. The only Welsh footballer I ever had any time for was Wyn Davies. You may remember him. He used to be a
Wyn the Leap.
Exactly.
The mighty Wyn.
So let's draw a veil over that, because Natasha's not entering.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it this morning whistling.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it happens.
Hey, at least you got there anyway, didn't you? Exactly. You got the quarter semi-finals, the furthest you've ever been.
Exactly so. First Cup, 1969, that was a fine day as well. Right.
We won that one.
Yes, exactly. Let us move on, because I think it was Tessa last week who said we had omitted to ask the critical questions.
Yes.
How are Ollie and Obo?
Oh, yes. Ollie and Obo are in rude health.
Rude health.
Yeah, I let Obo out into the garden. I've got a small front garden with a lot of traffic going around. And he wouldn't come back in for about an hour. In fact, he kept on going through hedges and things.
Gee, backwards, yes. Forwards? Any particular routes?
He got through the other side, which is the only reason. And it took some catching, I can tell you. So he's back in the house. A good stern finger wagging, telling off. Which he totally ignored, of course. And it's another fine day up here, so I might have to let them out again.
So actually, Ollie and Obo are actually out and out and about, so to speak.
Yes,
out
and about.
Out
and
about.
Even in Newcastle, Tessa. Yep. Even in Newcastle. So. I don't think that actually you've ever... Have you seen Ollie and Obo?
No, I'm not a cat person at all? I love cats.
Whilst we're sort of setting up various other things, like, of course, the traditional Midweek Drive Morning Edition photo shoot, and, of course, prepping for Ian Lennox to actually give us his view. Tessa, did you manage to catch Cameron Tilbury's choice yesterday?
No, literally, no. In quite a long time, I haven't. So this will be a first for me.
Available on the podcast, of course. So you can always find that.
Can I intervene here and say you can't actually literally catch a song?
Nicely pointed. A literalist as well. It's always nice to actually have a semantic, literalist, pedantic person at this time of day.
Yeah.
It's coming up to 13 minutes to 9 o'clock on Lincoln's first community radio service, producing a whole range of other things. That would be Siren FM. And, so nobody else has actually heard it as well. So it's a new thing for everybody on that setup. Well, as ever, it's brought a whole new take on life, the universe, various other things. The video actually features a chap wandering, looking quite moody through various churches and various other factors. It's called Golden Gravel Road, and the performer is Adam Fears.
Funeral service, sitting in the pew, I was fighting tears, listening to the preacher talk about where granddaddy'd gone. It sounded like a pretty nice place where angels sing Amazing Grace and everyone gets a mansion to call home. And I know that's where he went, and I'm sure he'll fit right in. If there's a cattle guard at the pearly gates, and the air smells like fresh cut hay, and grandma's chicken.